When do you take your faith in God most seriously? When are His promises to you most important? In one way, I hope it's not today. Let me explain. I believe most of the time our faith kind of sits in the back of our mind, because life is kind of routine. Life goes on day by day under the umbrella of God's grace. We trust in Him, and that's good. Life is normally not an emergency, as we're not in a desperate situation right now. Or should I say, not yet. But we're kind of really casual about our faith life. Our prayers, our worship, our devotions, the time that we spend at home, work, and school are pretty routine. And we thank God for this blessing. It's a good routine, mind you, but it's still a routine, kind of like brushing your teeth, uneventful for the most part. And that's what we, as Lutheran Christians, do. But what if your children were suddenly dying? Or what if you were bleeding to death? Suddenly our prayers and our faith in God's promises take on a whole new meaning. Nothing in all the rest of our lives is important. It's at these times that we're never more serious about our faith in God. We are desperate. It's a life and death situation. The words, "Lord, have mercy," mean more in these moments than any time during our Sunday morning liturgy. In an emergency, we mean them from the bottom of our heart. And someday we will face a situation like this. We all will. In the gospel this morning, Jairus was a wealthy, prominent synagogue ruler whose daughter was dying. This dignified and honored leader fell down in desperation at Jesus' feet and begged him, pleaded with him, implored him earnestly, the Bible says. In this intense emergency, he begs Jesus to help him. Everything else about his life, his titles, his money, his position, his honor, it all meant nothing. His daughter was dying. "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." Mark 5:24 tells us, "And he," Jesus, "went with him." On the way, Jesus was touched by a woman who was slowly bleeding to death. She was the opposite of Jairus in that she was unnamed, broke, on the street, no friends, no dignity, and considered unclean because of her condition. This dear nobody of a woman was also desperate for Jesus' help. So she broke all the rules about contact with others as Jesus walked by. Her faith in him compelled her to take a chance and to reach out to him. And she was healed. Jesus would tell her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Then as Jesus arrived at Jairus' home, as there were people crying and wailing loudly, Jesus broke through all of this, all the doubters and the desperate souls in his helpless situation, saying, "Do not fear, only believe." And Jesus promptly and miraculously brought life back to that little girl. Scripture says everyone was amazed, and with good reason. So I ask you again, when do you take your faith in God the most seriously? When will His biblical promises to you be most important? Will you, when the time comes that you desperately need Him, and that time will come for all of us, will you know where to turn to, like this wealthy man or the poor woman did, and have faith to go there like they did? It is a huge mistake to think that if you don't take the time to know your God now, you will somehow know how to call on Him later. Don't look for a last-ditch effort to summon Jesus only when you're desperate for Him, because it really doesn't work that way. God wants you to know, to trust, and meditate on His faithfulness all of your life so that you can live daily by that strength. Build your trust in Him and call upon Him during those desperate times when everything else around you is falling apart. Our first lesson this morning is from the book of Lamentations. The prophet Jeremiah is lamenting the way things were going in his country and for him personally. I think we probably can sympathize with him. But you know, we don't use the word lament very often. It is the deep, passionate expression of grief, regret, or sorrow, often associated with death. You may have that same feeling about the way our country is going and the way things are going in your life also. You may wonder where God went. Why doesn't God change things? Has God forsaken our land? Has God forsaken you? He has not, and He will never forsake you. The first lesson from the book of Lamentation concerns God's faithfulness. Jeremiah had been depressing himself, thinking and meditating on the negative, all the lies of the devil in the world, the injustices and darkness in life. To really, really capture the essence of where Jeremiah is coming from, we need to back up to the beginning of chapter 3. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a target for his arrow. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But just then, when the prophet Jeremiah is about to give up, when, after all he had been through, he wanted just to throw in the towel, to hang it up, he remembers and recalls God's character. Look at what he writes next. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. I want you to hear this because I think this is really important. God has given you the ability to control your thoughts. Your thoughts do not control you. You, by God's grace and the power of His Word within you, control your thoughts. You have the freedom to know, trust, and meditate either on the darkness or on the light. The negative or the positive, the pains of this life, or the promises of this life. The character of this mixed-up world, or the character of our everlasting Lord. If Jeremiah had remained focused on those discouraging things that were filling his mind, if he didn't control his lamenting thoughts, he was going down to the pit of despair. I think we all picked up on that from the reading. He would have been useless to God, isolated from family and friends, breaking faith with his Lord. But in order to break out of this pattern and cycle of confused darkness, Jeremiah needed to get his thoughts off of himself and back to God. He needed to get out from under himself and from under the world by remembering the truth of God's character, God's attributes, and attitude toward his people. When pastors encourage you to do your morning devotions, worship on Sundays faithfully, and attend Bible classes, they do so because they know that the devil, the world, and even your inner voice of your own conscience are liars. They're liars in terms of the ultimate things, in terms of what's real about you and the world and what's not. That if your thoughts revolve primarily around you or the world's opinions, your thoughts will always head towards despair. Your thoughts are what they are because of what you let in your head and what you keep out of your head. You control what gets in and what stays there. You and your children need your hearts and minds to be filled with God's Word of truth. God's Word is what's going to get you through, that's going to help you when there are those desperate and lonely times in your lives. Times like Jairus and the sick woman we're experiencing in the gospel for today. When Jeremiah was hurting, what did he call to mind? When he was trapped by all that was rotten in his land and in his heart, what did he lock onto? He turned his mind to the objective reality of God and purposely and deliberately remembered the truth of God's Word. He crowded out the darkness in his heart with the light of God's character. We need to be equipped so we too are able to do that same thing. I want you to notice how Jeremiah controls his mind, moves his thoughts away from his troubles and into God's faithfulness in order to give him hope. What exactly does he call to mind? These wonderful truths about God's character, truths that you also need to learn, to memorize, and meditate upon when you begin to suffer from despair, turn inward, or lose perspective in your life. The one who made you and redeems you wants you to turn to him. Lamentations 3:22 reads, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end." The Lord did not come to consume us or to destroy us. He loves us. He could and probably should consume all of us, destroy us, for he is holy and we are sinners. But the Bible says in John 3:17 that Christ did not come into the world to destroy the world, but to save it. Let's read verse 22 again. His mercies never come to an end. Some translations choose the word compassions here instead of mercy. I want you to notice that both of these words are plural. They come from the Hebrew word that means womb or bowel, and imply that God's love comes from deep within him and floods our lives. The plural means that it keeps rolling in on us continually and persistently like waves of the ocean. His mercy and grace to us come to us constantly, fully, never running dry. No matter how bad you feel about yourself, God drowns your sins in his mercy. And when do these compassions come to you from God, our God of grace? Look at verse 23. They are new every morning. What if you woke up every morning to find your purse or your wallet full of money, your car full of fuel, your refrigerator full of food, and your youth and health fully restored? That's the way it is with God's compassions, mercies, guidance, and grace. You never use those up. They are new every morning. Wake up, and they are there, ready and waiting for you. Do you remember the story from Exodus? When God provided manna for Israel every morning as they were wandering in the wilderness, they were instructed to gather as much as they would use for that day because, well, it would never run out. However, they weren't to store it or it would spoil. In this way, they were taught to trust in God's faithfulness to meet their daily needs. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." We never have to live on yesterday's blessing. They are new every morning. God is never late, and he's never early with his mercy. They are new every morning, waiting to be discovered and put to use by you, if you open your heart and your mind to their leading. The second half of verse 23 says it all concerning the character of our gracious Lord. Great is your faithfulness. You may have heard it said that a man is only as good as his word. Our God is perfectly good as his perfect holy word, which has never been broken and never will be. When God said, "Let there be light," there was light. When God told Noah that it was going to rain, it rained. And when God proclaims that your sins are forgiven, they are forgiven and divinely forgotten. God is faithful, and he has done it. Psalm 25 says, "All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful." Psalm 89 reminds us, "O Lord Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you." God's faithfulness is not some minor or secondary part of his character. Faithfulness goes to the very core of who God really is. If he didn't keep his word, he wouldn't be God. 2 Timothy 2:13 says it in this way, "If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself." So when do you take your faith in God most seriously? When are his promises to you most important? To the desperate, shunned, and bleeding woman who touched him to be healed, Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." To the desperate Jairus, whose daughter was reporting dying or dead, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, just believe." To you this morning, in whatever condition your heart and mind are in right now, Jesus says the same thing. Have faith in him to be made well. In good times, but especially in troubled times, don't be afraid. Just believe in his faithfulness. Get your mind off yourself, your character, or lack of it, and call to mind the character of God. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Your assignment, then, for today is to take these verses home and memorize them. And when desperate, confusing times come, and they will come, replace your fear and doubt with these great promises of God. Jeremiah says in verse 26, "It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." That's true enough. But don't wait to learn his word and to make his word one with your soul. You need it today, every day, but especially in those days that are life and death. Hear again God's word to us through the prophet Jeremiah. "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him." Amen.